Okay, let's get started. We'll start with Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, when he has called to go out, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she was a child who was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you for being with us tonight. We praise you that we're able to gather tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, for the heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews 11. Tonight we look at Abraham. We ask that you would help us to understand and know the things we should know, and we ask that we might even grow close to you by this message tonight, through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. By faith, Abraham did all those things. Abraham was called to go out into a place whose destination was unknown. Nevertheless, faithful Abraham obeyed God. A good question for us is, where and when did Abraham live? Scholars suggest any time between 2100 and 1800 years before Christ. Abraham was a man of God who acknowledged other faithful men. For example, Abraham acknowledged Melchizedek. And regarding Melchizedek, my first point is tithes. Tithes. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And the Bible text is Hebrews 7, 1 and 2. Hebrews 7, 1 and 2. I'll read that. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest to the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, acknowledging Melchizedek is greater than he. He understood that. And here we are, men and women of the 21st century, acknowledging that the Almighty is greater than all. There's no doubt about that. He's greater than any man of whom we can think. And he's greater than Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, Augustine, whatever you call him. There were other great men of faith. John the Baptist, John the Apostle. Christ is greater than all, greater than Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump combined. What am I saying? Well, we don't give tithes to any man, not even to Melchizedek, though he has no beginning or ending. We give tithes to the Almighty God through this church, the Bible Presbyterian Church of Apollo. Now, what is a tithe? I think you know, but let me explain it. Is it not a tenth of all that we earn? 10% of your gross income or your 10% of your net income. You tithe on your net or on your gross, But 10% of either is the minimum. No man can force you to do either. Just know that that's between you and the Almighty. And that's where I'll leave it. Further, we don't pay tithes to any order of men. We tithe in order to give thanks to God for his victory over death. We reverence him, and when the plate is passed before us, we give in joy for the one who has done so much for us. It's our thanksgiving to the Redeemer, to the Heavenly Father. Again, it's not for us, but it's an essential part of our worship of God. Only he is worthy of our worship and our tithe. We worship and tithe. We worship him and we tithe him. Our Lord is the head of the church. We give our tithe to the church, and that's the way it should be. My first point, then, is tithe. And my second point is obey. Note the word in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham did what he did because he believed what he believed. Abraham believed God. So did Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah believed God, and Noah delivered a people who would have died in the flood. Because of Noah, we're here tonight. Abraham did the same. Abraham believed God. Note the word in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Faithful Abraham was the father of the faithful. And we find that in Romans 4:11. We're not going to read that tonight, but Romans 4:11, if you want to write it down. Two things. Being the father of all them that believe and being obedient to God, both require great confidence in God. That's why Abraham earned a place in Hebrews 11. Note that Abraham left his own country to go to a distant land full of strangers. He didn't know where he was going, but he went anyway. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he believed, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had great confidence in God, great boldness in God, great love for God. Abraham was a man whom we can follow as he's listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. We follow Jesus Christ, but he has these people for us to look at and examine and try to do right. Abraham's life is detailed in the book of Galatians and in the book of Romans. He's described in the book of Genesis. The Almighty God used this man to change the world. God could have used Noah, and he did. But here, God instead used Abraham. And God made great promises through this man, or to this man. Abraham believed God when God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That's Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now we could speculate on what would have happened if Abraham had been disobedient, but that's useless speculation because Abraham believed God, and Abraham obeyed God. Now, I can't prove it, but I believe Abraham was saved right there in Genesis 12. It's not till Genesis 15 that the Lord declared Abraham to be righteous. However, it was in Genesis 12 that Abraham began obeying God because of his faith in God. In Genesis 12:1, Abram at the time was called to leave his country and his family, that is his father's house, and go to a land that God would show him. And that place would be the place that he would receive an inheritance. Abraham did it. Perhaps he'd never heard of Canaan, but he heard about the promised land. And that's where he went. It was the promise that Abraham believed, so God declared him righteous. Other than God's word, Abraham had no basis to do what he did. Guess what? We have God's word too. All of it recorded for our benefit. We have more revelation than Abraham had. And what do we do? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say we moan and groan and gripe and grumble because we have to go to church. I'm like that. I hate to fight gravity. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just hang around, you'll know. So Abraham made his trek through a dry, thirsty, unforgiving desert. If he would obey, that's exactly what he had to do. He went up to Haran, where his father died. Then he went down to Canaan, where he faced great opposition from the Canaanites. He wandered more south to Egypt and north back to Canaan. All the while, he was looking for a home whose builder and maker was God. Abraham made certain that he would be in the center of God's will. He would be where God wanted him. And we must be in the center of God's will also. We may not know where we're to go, but our God will show us. By the way, I'm glad you're here tonight. We may not be the biggest church with the best entertainment, but God is in this place. And Ichabod is not written over the door here or the door down there. And let me tell you how I know. Listen carefully. God's Spirit is here with us right now. And with God's Spirit here, God's glory is here right now. Listen to the word in 1 Samuel 4, verse 21. 1 Samuel 4, verse 21. The daughter of, she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." What does Ichabod mean? Anybody want to guess what that means? Ichabod. Without glory. Ichabod, without glory. Old Eli's daughter-in-law died giving birth to her son. The midwives were there to help, but the baby lived, and the midwives named the boy Ichabod because the glory of God had departed because the ark was gone. Well, the glory of God is with us right now. And the reason is that there are 5 arks here. Each ark here is a temple of the Lord, an ark in which the glory of God rests. Thus, God is with us. And because God is with us, God is doing great things for us and to us. We may not see the blessings God has for us. But I believe they're on the way here right now. I don't know, maybe God is going to fill this place with more arks and temples in which the Spirit of God resides. I want that. So long as we point them to God and as we do them no harm. What kind of oath would that be for a doctor? Hippocratic oath. Well, let me tell you, that's the preacher's oath. Do no harm to one of God's children, precious children. And let me say, that's the burden we have here. We'd like to see little cherubs running around here, beaming faces and happy voices from boys and girls. We're on the way, ain't got there yet. We got the boys. We need some girls. Right here, even so, pray that we would do them no harm. That we would point them to Jesus, that they might be saved and that they might serve him. Linda and I were talking about how there are so many kids in Apollo and North Apollo. They're all over the place, little boys and girls running around. We got three here tonight. We'd like to have more. Pray. Okay, so far we have tithes and obey, and now faith. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, we have promises of good from God. Saints down through the ages had those same promises. But they never received the fulfillment. They died in faith. Like Abraham and the Old Testament people, the saints in the New Testament saw the promises of God afar off. That's what Peter did. It's what Paul and others did. The women did and the men did because they believed God's word, God's promises. They all died in faith. We include Augustine, the reformers, our parents. They died in faith, not having received the fulfillment of the promises, but they had faith to believe. And so do we. And we have 2,100 years of Christian history since Christ was here. And today, we look to his return. We know he's coming, and we know he's coming for us to take us to his home. We haven't seen him yet, but he's only been gone 2 days. During those 2,100 earthly years, there have been days of good and days of bad, days in which the saints have been killed because of their faith. Still, they stood for truth. They stood even in the flames because they believed God's promises. And as they did, we look for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. Now, here's a contrast for us to consider. And I'm going to finish early tonight, But think for a minute and know that lost people do what they do because they believe what they believe. That's simple, straightforward. Guess what? Saved people, that's you and me, you and I, do what we do because we believe what we believe. And the truth is that we believe the promises of God. We have faith to stand in the day of adversity. You can take the measure of a man or a woman by what it takes to stop him. That's in Proverbs, I think it is, and Bob Jones used to say that. You can take the measure of a man by what, or a woman, by what it takes to stop him or her. I thank God for the 2,100-year history of the saints. And I'm glad they didn't stop when the storm hit them square in the face. I thank God that we have the same God they had. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come unto thee again, knowing that thou art he who is sovereign over all that is. There's none like unto thee, O Lord, and thou art he who has all power. And that's why we come to thee. Lord, we have need, great need. We don't even know how much we need thee, but you do. Because you know the end from the beginning and what's going to happen this night. We ask that you would show yourself strong in our behalf. Bless your people, Lord, all across this nation, that they might come to thee and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways and cry out to thee, and that you would hear a mighty roar up in heaven. Our cry, the saints of all the earth, we need help, Lord. That's why we come to you now, and that's why we cry to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.